Blog Talk Radio.
And now it's time for the Stepping Into My Power Blog Talk Radio Show with Dr. Imani Ma'at. This show is dedicated to bringing important health and wellness information, products, and services to communities in the U.S. and globally. Dr. Ma'at is a health educator, author, speaker, and health coach who is committed to helping others to step into their power and open doors to health, wellness, and prosperity. With her expert guests, this show is fun, informative, and serves as an awakening to those that are ready to wake up. So what are you waiting for? Enjoy this show and please invite others that you care about to listen in. There's no time like the right time, and the right time is now. Stepping Into My Power, Blog Talk Radio, starts right now.
have to say. Wake up, everybody! No more sleeping in bed. No more boxing, thinking. Time for thinking ahead. Come on.
Okay, this is Dr. Imani Ma'at, and you are joining another episode of the Stepping Into My Power Blog Talk Radio Show. Thank you so much for listening in this evening. We have people who are here in Atlanta listening in, and we have people around the country and around the globe. So we're so happy that you decided to take an hour and 15 minutes out of your busy schedule and join us this evening for a wonderful, wonderful discussion. We always talk about health and wellness and youth empowerment. Those are our big, big issues, but sometimes we kind of segue and talk about things that are connected with those two. I have with me my host, Mr. Brian Stevens. Brian, are you there?
Hello, doctor. How are you? I'm here.
Good. But Okay, now I'm hearing you better. Wonderful, wonderful. So we have a wonderful guest lined up to join us this evening, and not going to talk about her yet because
okay.
I'm so excited to have her. I'm always excited to have our guests, but really excited to have Dr. Faya Oates, who's going to be joining us in just a few minutes. I just spoke with her, and like most of us, she's probably running to and from appointments, so we're so glad that she fit us into her busy schedule this evening. I want to remind everyone, my book is finished. Yay! It is the Healthy High School 3, How to Fight Childhood Obesity, One Poem at a Time. And
you
so
really need that.
You can, yeah, absolutely. It's a resource for families and teachers and mentors, and it's a workbook. Children can actually write their own poetry and stories, and all of it is, it's got the science, it's got activities, it's got role play activities, as well as lots and lots of poetry and fun. So it really is a good way for families, for YMCAs, church youth groups to talk about different health and wellness issues. This particular book is totally focused on childhood obesity. One out of three children and one out of three teens is obese, which is like a major, major national epidemic. So, again, I'm looking at ways to sharing ways using the arts and fusion of the arts to teach young people and people who care about young people about health and wellness from a fun and interactive perspective. So you can go, you can actually, the book is it's in print, it's in press right now. It will be ready in a couple of days. Until it's ready, you can actually pre-order an e-book version of the book, and you can go to tinyurl.com/healthy-haiku-3, and that's H-E-A-L-T-H-Y. Haiku is H-A-I-K-U, and the number 3, Healthy Haiku 3, tinyurl.com/healthy-haiku-3. So, book, we're also putting up an amazing schedule of speaking and workshop and book signing engagements around the health, around the book launching, as well as the issues of health and wellness for young people and for families. So please go to the website and definitely check it out. Let us know if you want us to come and do a presentation. So let me, I'm going to tell you a little bit about our guest. Before I do that, I want to put in a little, play a little bit more music and just make sure she's not having any technical issues logging on to the show. So let me do that, and we will be right back. Here's one of my favorite songs. You'll see why.
It might seem crazy what I'm about to say. By the way, because I'm happy. Clap along if you feel like a room without.
Phenomenal guest that's joining us this evening. Let me tell you a little bit about, and I can call her my dear sister because I just love her. Her name is Dr. Faya Oates, and we found out after we met because we kept saying, "No, you look so familiar. You look so familiar." And maybe it was just the energy that we both had, but it turned out that we grew up literally down the street from each other in New Rochelle, and she knows my younger sisters. So we were just so tickled to find out that we go way back in terms of history and a lot of people that we know. So that being said, Dr. Faya Oates received her doctorate in transpersonal psychology from the Theological Institute of Transpersonal Psychology and is a facilitator and creator of a series named Therapeutic Meditation. I can't wait to hear about that. I love meditation. In this series, she has created several self-help groundbreaking concepts that allows participants and clients to reach deep into themselves to discover new roads, deep inner healing, create new possibilities, and exciting and exhilarating growth occurs as a result. Affectionately known as Dr. Faya, she provides tools that are powerful in the transformation process. That's so important. So many people ask, how do I do it? You know, give me the tools, give me the strategies. These tools can help you move past any situation, and you will encounter the most exciting journey of self-discovery. She has training in areas of sexual abuse, domestic abuse, and empowerment for women. Dr. Faya has co-written several papers, been featured in an anthology that addresses women's issues, and is a regular contributor and writer for the online magazine The Examiner, where she has written several pieces on holistic health. Dr. Faya Oates also works as a coach and counselor for Sykes, Inc., as well as having her own private practice. She currently conducts two healing groups named Path to Wholeness. One is a women's healing group, and the other is for parents and caregivers of people with special needs. You can read more about Dr. Faya, and I know we'll give her website again, but you might take it down. It is www.reflectivewaters.org, reflectivewaters.org. And with that, I am going to welcome Dr. Faya Oates to the show. Good evening, Dr. Faya. How are you?
Greetings, everybody. How are you, Dr. Imani? Good to hear your voice. Good to be
on
the program.
Thank you. Absolutely. Yes, how am I? And and this is Brian Stevens. He's my co-host. Brian, this is Dr. Faya. And as I said, she lives literally down the street from here. So I look forward to introducing the two of you.
Hello, Dr. Faya. How are you?
I'm doing wonderful. Thank you for asking. And how are you doing?
I'm doing well also. Thank you for asking. Wow. Can't wait to hear your story. Absolutely.
Oh, well, good thanks.
That was exciting what you do. Really want to hear this.
Okay.
Hello.
Right here.
Sorry.
Yeah, still here.
And
We are still on.
Okay, wonderful, wonderful. So, Dr. Faya, how was your day? Are you good?
The day is wonderful, actually. I had a lot going on today. I had a client and was working for Sykes, as I had you mentioned in the introduction. And so day was very exciting, very productive. Thank you for asking. And what about you?
Oh, it was good. It was good. I met with my agent, the person who's going to be promoting me with my books and speaking engagements, because we all need somebody to help us with this stuff. My fault in the past has always been trying to do all of it, you know. So I'm so excited to have somebody who's really skilled, really knowledgeable, to help me with my work. It was a great day, great day. We did a lot of brainstorming, and I'm so excited about moving forward. So, things are good. And Brian, you said you had a good day too.
Absolutely. I try not to have a bad day ever again. You know what I mean? I refuse to have a bad day. It's too much to be grateful for. Too much.
Absolutely. So a lot of our guests they've heard your story. I know Faya hasn't, but Brian was on dialysis for 23 years, Sister Faya. And he's been through it, and he's actually going to be putting his story in a book. So I look forward to helping him share that story with the world, because I don't know if you've noticed, but in this community and a lot of communities, we see dialysis clinics popping up like on every other corner. And I've often said we have dialysis clinics and we have liquor stores, you know, on every other corner. But, we're working on changing that around. But Brian has been through a lot, and I'm so happy that he's on the other side of the pain and all of what he's had to go through for so many years. So it's just a blessing to have him here and have him co-hosting. He's so good. He does the intro to the show, and I'm not sure if you heard that, Faya. Maybe you'll hear it next time here on. But he's got a wonderful broadcaster's voice, and I'm appreciative of him sharing that wonderful voice with us. So...
That's amazing, because I know that a lot of people kind of feel once they go on dialysis, that they feel like, you know, it's all downhill from there. So that's an amazing story and a great hope for ones to look to turn their situation around and really get that, you know, there's nothing out there that can't be turned around.
Right.
I agree.
Absolutely. We have the power, and that's what this show and the work that we do is all about, helping people to step into their power, reclaim their lives, reclaim their health, reclaim their attitudes, you know. I've been listening on the radio the past few days about Sandra Bland in Texas and what happened to her, and it's just so, so horrible. We have had shows, you know, talking about police violence and violence in general in our community, but, you know, things have got to be turned around so that we don't have to keep covering stories like that, because, like I said, that is another whole show, and I don't want to go into it, but my heart goes out to her family and her close friends and associates, and it's just sad because her life is gone for no reason. So I just wanted to mention that and to send some prayers up about her. And, I mean, there are a lot of people suffering. There are a lot of people who unfortunately, you know, have their last days every day. But, you know, when there's a big story like that, it's part of it, I think, is for us to share the lessons learned from it, as well as to demand action and change, you know. So it's all of that. So, and what you do, Sister Faya, is so very important, because just talking with you, I find myself relaxing. So that must be your therapeutic, meditative vibe that you put out. But you definitely You definitely have some magic working, because I'm just like, ooh, it's like a 95 degrees in here. We got the air conditioner guy here in the background as we speak.
Okay.
So, yeah. Ooh, yeah.
I can feel
so,
her presence,
you know, like,
over the airwaves. She said something. Yeah, I could tell. Man, I wish she was around when I was in dialysis. Boy.
Yeah, right? I know.
Really,
so
really
tell us.
Talk to somebody like her. Absolutely.
That's right. Tell us a little bit about Reflective Waters Transformation Center. What is your center all about? What do you do? Who are you impacting? Tell us.
Okay, well, it's a dynamic collective. It's a collective of medical doctors, nurses, therapists, and we have on board, like, alternative energy approaches in healing. So we started out targeting the population of young girls that are being exploited, sexually exploited, and started to, here as a group, we got training in that area. So we started to get into certain agencies, and we developed some workshops for the teenage young women, and, you know, mostly in empowerment. And ever since then, we've been mostly focused on workshops and concepts and coming together to just figure out ways in the community, because we're very community-based. So figure out, you know, the needs that are in the community that we can address. So that was a need that we found to be outstanding and, I would say, underdeveloped and not addressed as much as the young women that, you know, what they're exposed to, and then they get to a point where they are putting themselves at risk. So they think, you know, I think the common notion for a lot of young women is, you know, that they could strip, they could go to strip clubs, and that's all they could do, and they'll be okay. Or they could go into a party, and it's just two or three of them stripping in front of a bunch of men. And that's been, like, a very common notion in young adult females, not realizing that they're putting themselves so much at risk of being, for lack of a better term, sucked into the lifestyle, and they won't be able to get out.
Okay.
So a lot of the empowerment workshops were also geared towards expressing the divinity of their sexuality and being more in touch with that as a very sacred part of themselves, and not something that can be utilized to gain another level of power, whether it be through money, but whether it be through validation, whether it be through acceptance. So that's where we're at. You were actually, most of the members were at the party that you came to. Most of the members of Reflective Water was there when we had the scrolling slideshow. When you saw three women on side, three women on the other side. That was us. That was Reflective Waters.
Sister Fire, are you on a speaker? Paul, are you on a speaker or earbuds?
Kind of. Hold on a moment. I am. You're right.
You're going in and out, and I want to make sure what you have to say is so important. We want to make sure everybody hears every word of what you're saying.
Okay, so let me, if you don't mind, I'm going to hang up and call back on a more stable phone. How's that?
We could do that, and we could just listen to some music in between. And if folks want to call in and speak with Dr. Fire, you can call 646-915-9853. Press the number 1 so that I see you in the host queue. So we will talk to you, Dr. Fire, on the other side of the music, okay?
Okay.
Don't to get it wrong. Mary J is in the spot tonight, and I'ma make you feel alright. Come on, baby, just party with me. Let it loose and set your body free. Leave your situations at the door, so when you step inside, jump on the floor.
Okay, we are back. We're back. And Sister Fire has changed phones, and I can hear her much better. Sister Fire, let
hey,
me hear you. Oh,
I'm here.
So much better. Yes,
okay.
Thank you. I so appreciate you for doing that. So these
okay.
young girls, what are the ages of the girls that primarily that you're working with that do the strip club things, and what kind of situations are they getting themselves into? What's the danger? What's happening to them? And I'm not being facetious, because I just want you to really explain it to our guests. It's so important.
Yeah, usually the agencies that I deal with are basically addressing from 15 years to 21. Once 21, it goes into another dimension. Mm. But the whole, you know, these agencies are working hard with the court systems to not prior to a couple of years ago, these young women would be arrested for the things that they're doing, and
mm-hmm.
in the meantime, they're in a kind of victimized situation. So the courts would basically arrest them, give them a record, and then release them, and they would go back to their situation,
mm-hmm.
and nothing would be done.
Mm-hmm.
So. The agency one of the agencies I deal with is called Youth Spark, and they have a project called Voices. And
okay.
the main thing that they are focusing on is identifying those young women that are putting themselves at risk. So it would be in a situation where they did get arrested, but arrested in that
mm-hmm.
Taken away from that situation. So they wouldn't be charged,
right.
they wouldn't be booked. They would then go mm-hmm. to a program. They would be court ordered to go to a program.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, hopefully at that point. I noticed that there's a huge success rate with young women turning their life around at that age.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
women, you know, because I worked with young men.
Older.
And young men, it's, you know, first of all, young men really kind of have to have men work with young men and women work with
mm-hmm,
young women. It
mm-hmm.
seems to be more successful. So I did
yeah.
a lot of workshops with young men, and they were really touch and go with that. Whereas the
mm-hmm.
young women, they seem to, you know, they seem to latch on. They're looking for this. They want some. They don't. They want to turn
mm-hmm.
their lives around, but they just don't know how.
Right. Are some of them young mothers? Some of
yes.
the girls who work.
Some of them are young mothers,
yes.
and some are
mm-hmm.
pregnant while they're going through the you know, the diversion program. Mm-hmm.
Wow, that's something.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, I'm so glad you're there for them. There's so many, you know, young women that just you know, and one of the things we work with the younger children that I work with is just the issue of self-esteem and really knowing who they are. Is one reason I love you, because you present yourself like a queen, and they need to see that. They need to see this is who you are. It's not just me. This is who you are, you
mm-hmm.
know. And so I'm
mm-hmm.
sure that you know, the young women saw themselves in you and how you carry yourself and your commitment and your love and devotion, and it gave them a role model that they might not have had before, you know. So it's so wonderful that you're there to touch them. And to be able to make a change in their lives, a much needed change, because like you said, as they get older, it's harder. You know, it's harder to change. You're like really sucked in at that point. If you're, you know, if you're in your 30s or whatever, and you're still living that lifestyle, it's probably a little harder to turn around. Not that, I mean, everyone can turn it around, but I think
anyone
can
turn it around, but I understand what you're saying is our mind tends to normalize a situation, and because so we all have that inner voice that's telling us the reminding us, I should say, of our divine path. And so therefore, when we're doing something that's contrary to that, what we do is we override those messages with another message that normalizes the situation.
Right. It becomes, you've talked yourself into the fact that what you're doing, even though you know it's not right, but you've talked yourself into making it right, you know.
Exactly.
Excuses or whatever. So, yeah, and that's good, because I know you must take them through a process to transform so that they can understand what it is they've been doing and how they can change that around by their thoughts, by their actions, by the meditation. Tell us about the therapeutic meditation. Is that part of what you do with the young people?
Most definitely. Therapeutic meditation is, yes. It changed my life around. So anytime you utilize some type of tool in your life, whether you created it or you learned it from somebody, and it works for you, the first thing you want to do is share it. So, right? So therapeutic meditation, I realized that meditation is like the most powerful tool that we could use to shift our thinking, to shift our perspective. In many cases, though, the tool is used to do a type of transcendence. Is good. I'm all for transcendence, because what transcendence does is it takes you out of the mind space and puts you into your beingness. And in your beingness, you can do everything. You could do anything. So you get it. When you experience that beingness, you get it. Like, there's nothing that can happen in the mind space that I can't overcome in my beingness. So that's transcendence. So I'm all for transcendence. However, there are times where we can really reach a level of meditation that's not as deep as transcendence, where we could get into a connective state where we can discover ourselves. We could discover certain things about ourselves. We could ask questions, and we can actually receive the answers in those states of meditation. So here it is. We are, a lot of us have become dependent on other people to give us the answer, to show us the way, when it's in us. It's already there.
It's in us. Absolutely. And so you help to take, you help to guide them back to themselves, essentially.
That's it.
Wow.
You know, the healing groups, the workshops, they're all on rotation basis. After a certain, anywhere from 6 to 8 weeks, I also, do 12 weeks as well, because sometimes 12 weeks, you need the extra weeks to put into practice and really get yourself on a roll. But in essence, if you're in counseling with somebody, the whole objective of a counselor is to teach you how to empower yourself to do the work.
Absolutely. At least that's what I believe. there may be people who think differently, but I think, as you're saying, I think that you're right on point in terms of helping them to get back to center, get back to who they are, and to do the work, to get stronger. And to really be on their path. I always say we're all individually, uniquely, sent here in this life to do a particular thing. It's our assignment. And so when people are off doing other things, they're not on their assignment. They're not making the contribution that they were uniquely and divinely, created to do. So, the work that you do helps to get them back to center, so that they can figure out, what is it I'm here for again? Because we all know, like you said, the meditation takes you back. Like, oh, yeah, that's what I agreed to before I came in. I won't get too deep with that.
Right. It reminds you. It reminds you.
Right.
Yeah.
You get to remember.
Yeah, go ahead.
I'd like to ask the doctor a question.
Sure.
Regarding the girls getting into those positions to get into. Would you say it's I myself think of two things. Do you think it is, number one, a lack of a proper male presence at the home, or is it due to the fact of a peer pressure from their friends, or does the first one lead to the second one?
I think it's definitely multiple factors that are taking place in our society. Definitely the breakdown of strong male figures in the family life, in society, period. And, you know, because we, as women, we do learn how a man should treat us based on watching the male figures in our life. And therefore, there could be a male figure in the life, and he could be teaching more destructive behavior than the absence of one, right? So I definitely agree with that, because life itself came forward from a balance. It came forward from the male-female balance. Mm-hmm. It has to be at a certain tilt on each side, because, you know, we've seen through history that this earth was leaning towards the matriarchal concept and the goddess concept. And then we've seen in this earth, and we're witnessing now, that it's leaning over to the male dominant concept and the patriarchal and the male god concept. So each swing is an imbalance. So now we have to, you know, now we're coming into that space that it requires both those energies to come together in that perfect balance to produce life. So life gets produced on all levels. It gets produced through the mind, through the works, and through the physical.
Okay. Okay. And are you saying when it was made for the matriarchal, I don't want to say dominance, but it was more influenced by a matriarchal society. Are you saying this happened maybe over an epoch, a very long time, or was it just like a time period of what you feel that it was leaning that way? Was it a recent thing and happened over the last century, or did it happen over several centuries? And what do you attribute to it switching from female to male?
Okay,
I think a woman should be president. I do. She have a heart, more heart. Wouldn't want to make that president.
But you know what? We have like this kind of paradox going on, though, because the president, the position itself was created by men. So so if a woman steps in, she has to come into the definition of what a man defined the position as. So there's a little paradox going on there. In my estimation, any society and any religion, really, if you're going to have a position of power, there has to be two seats. There has to be the male seat and there has to be the female seat. The men have to create the male seat. The female has to create the female seat. So when we see that there's a president and there's no, like, ruling seat next to his, that is occupied only by a female and has its own definition and its own name and has its own role and duties in society, then you have an imbalance. So anytime you walk into, and you know, and the same thing, like I said, if we walk into a church, we're supposed to see two ministers, okay? The minister should be the male and female. Same thing with mosque, same thing with a temple, you know. Anywhere we go, there should be a representation of the male and female energy embodied in the people that are in that position. That's my
point. That's interesting because, like you said, the role models, like you said, that people see, they see everything headed up by males, many things anyway. I mean, I think we're actually going into more of an age of the female, the feminine energy again, but the men aren't giving up without a struggle. So, you know, you can see that, but you do feel a lot more women's presence. Like I'll give you an example, and I know we're sort of off topic, but I'm loving this topic. you know, Dr. Reverend Michael Beckwith. of the Agape
yes.
Church in California. Well, him and his wife, the lovely Ricky Byers Beckwith, were here a couple weeks ago, maybe a couple months ago.
In May, yeah, back in May, yeah.
In May, yeah. But I had the opportunity to to speak with Ricky after the program. And when you talk about a powerful, powerful sister, I was like, wow, what a blessing to have spent 10 minutes talking to the goddess, you know. And so, you know, and the two of them present, you know, as a team. And I think that that has a lot to do with their success, you know, and with their.
I completely agree with that.
Yeah, their ability to reach people because it truly is a battle with them, and I truly believe that she is as powerful, if not more, than he is. And I love him. I think he's wonderful, you know, but to mm-hmm. spend time with her energy and hear her words, I was like, wow, she's amazing. So
mm-hmm.
and very, very gifted. So I mean, when you talk about the balance, I to the two of them, you know, they run their church together.
Yes, so exactly. Exactly.
Yeah.
And I've
yeah.
yet to, I mean, every once in a while, she's asked to appear somewhere by herself. Every once in a while, he's asked to appear
mm-hmm.
Somewhere by himself.
By
but
himself.
For the most part,
yeah.
when they
they're
come
together.
And they're represented, they're together. They're together.
Right.
And they do the
That's
whole
right.
performance together. She's performing. She's
yes.
on the piano. She's singing. And he comes walking out to her playing the piano, you know. So.
Right, right. So, no, it is so, so nice. Such a nice yin and yang balance. So,
yes.
So that's so cool. So tell us a little bit about spiritual cocooning, and have you kind of been weaving that into what the things you talked about already with the meditation? What is spiritual cocooning?
Okay, thank you for asking. Now, what I recognize is that, including ourselves, that all the animals on this planet do their biggest growth and repair in the darkness. And and not only growth and repair, but you have animals that literally transform from one shape into another. And the new
mm-hmm.
shape that they emerge out of is a shape that allows them more freedom, more agility. They can go to different places that they couldn't before, more beauty, more aesthetic beauty. Because,
mm-hmm.
you know, I'm not saying that the caterpillar is not beautiful, but there's a certain aesthetic beauty that the butterfly has that's on purpose. So I started to think about, you know, I noticed that we are cyclical. We're all cyclical. And we have our
mm-hmm.
upswings, we have our downswings. And we're
mm-hmm.
kind of fed these concepts that when we get into these higher realms of consciousness and beingness, that we're not going to have any problems and everything's going to be light and love. And and there's that kind of this ignoring that we're still going to cycle. We're still going to go through upswings and downswings. It's just that
mm-hmm.
the downswings, what are we going to do with those times? What are we,
right.
what are those times are purposeful. So instead of us trying to kind of get out of those spaces, kind of try to escape, and you have people that escape through different methods, you know,
mm-hmm.
like we talk with the girls,
drugs.
the drugs, right, the drugs,
mm-hmm.
sleeping.
Alcohol.
I know I tend
yeah.
to, when I was going through those periods, I was shut down. I would go to sleep. I would be sleeping all the time,
mm-hmm.
and that would be my way of escaping, or I would
mm-hmm.
eat.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so there's times we're going through that downswing and we're not aware that that is a sacred time for us that
right.
has been given
That's
to
right.
us.
That's right.
So,
That's
mm-hmm.
right. Mm.
And there's a certain, like, there's a certain element of when it's dark outside, there's a certain element of fear that encompasses greater than when it's light outside. So
mm-hmm.
in saying
mm-hmm.
that, when we're going through that dark period, a lot of us get scared. And that's okay, because that's exactly what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to face our fears and address them
mm-hmm.
during that
mm-hmm.
time.
Mm-hmm.
And
Absolutely.
Go through a cocoon. Yeah.
Absolutely.
So,
that's powerful.
And
so
even
powerful.
During, like, and you feel like everybody feels it coming on. Again, they don't, it's just that nobody's really said anything to them like, you know, this is a good time. This is an opportune time. We feel
mm-hmm.
ourselves
mm-hmm.
kind of, you know, not answering phone calls or kind of just not making plans, you know.
mm-hmm. But, you know, I always say that there's opportunity in the chaos. I mean, that has carried
yes.
me for many, many years. There is so much opportunity in chaos. We just have to, like you say, come out of the fear and step into our creativity. A lot of what we do in life is, but sometimes those problems can shut us down for a minute, you know.
Yes.
So I love the concept of spiritual cocooning. Get in that cocoon and work your magic, because we all can work the magic, not just some of us, all of us. You know, I tell people come to my home, they're like, wow, how did you find this place? And I said, you know, I conjured this up. I literally sat down and said, I want this, I want this, I want this. And then it came to me, almost like magic, that I had made my list. You know, I had thought about it. I was in that cocoon because I said that other place I was living before this, I had outgrown it, you know. And I visualized what I needed in my life to be comfortable and to be creative and, you know, do the work that I'm doing. So everyone can do that. I love that spiritual cocooning. That is
oh, thank
amazing.
You. Thank you. So
amazing.
So what I usually do when I'm presenting it, I will suggest a few tools to utilize during the downswing. And
mm-hmm.
And however, once you really get it and get going, like you said, like you just said, you're actually tapping into your creativeness. So you will probably either tweak the tools that are supplied, or you'll create your own tools that are going to work. And if they work for you, that means they're going to work for somebody else. It's not going to work for everybody, but it's going to work for
mm-hmm.
somebody else. So now you get to share things that you created that is working for you.
That's right. That's so great. I love it.
Thank you.
Sorry, go
ahead,
Brian. No,
Doctor,
go ahead.
When I do my best writing, one in a particular mindset, do you have to... some of the things I hear you saying, you remind me when I'm in my mindset, that certain mindset. Do you have to be in a particular mindset to your philosophy and the things that you are espousing? Do you have to be in a particular mindset, or is that just your own disciplinary training that you noticed or you took upon yourself to transfer to other people?
Well, you know, I would have to say that most, I do present this concept to a group where it's men in that are in, men and women that are going through recovery. So I will have to say, and I've done it and I've presented at churches. So I kind of have presented these workshops to people that are ready. They're looking for something else to validate their experience, but it wasn't put into a certain format. So okay. I'm going to have to answer that in a way that there's that saying that when the student is ready, the teacher will show up. So apparently who's ever in front of me are those that are ready for a new opening of what, or a new reminder of something that's already there in their
mm-hmm.
consciousness. So in the recovery population, you know, there is an openness of wanting to heal, of wanting to try something different because what they've been doing hasn't been working.
Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's true. I mean, it's the whole thing. Go ahead, Brian.
I was just going to say, we've all heard the definition of insanity.
Right.
It doesn't work. But I like what you're saying about the openness of the recovery population. You know, hi, you know, my name is Dr. Imani and I'm a foodie. You know, I mean, it's like, you know, and it's interesting because, like you said, when you find things that work, then you share it. So now I'm coaching people about how to eat and health and wellness and including more exercise. But it's something I've struggled with a lot of my life, and sugar and, you know, too much wheat. And, you know, I had seen all kind of things happen with my body because of too much sugar and too much wheat. So you know, I'm still, we're all still a work in progress, but that's just sort of interesting, you know, the whole recovery thing and being open, you know, it's like just stating, hey, this is who I am, and not trying to sugarcoat it, not trying to cover it up, because that doesn't do anybody any good. So that makes a lot of sense. So tell us, you know, our time is like so short, but I really want to hear about the Institute, the Theological Institute of Transpersonal Psychology, and the changes, the restructuring that you're doing there, because we want people to know about that. We want people to come to you and be a part of it. So tell us, take your time and tell us, there's somebody holding on that I see on the board. Not everybody presses one so that I can see them on the board, but there is someone who's holding, and I want to just at least give them an opportunity to ask you some questions and join the discussion. So tell us about the Institute.
Okay. So first things first is transpersonal psychology, where I got my degree. Not many people are aware of that. It's a modality of psychology. And it's in the name, it's basically saying there's a transcendence that happens. In clinical psychology,
load it out for a second. Say that again. Basically saying that
there's a transcendence that happens. That word transpersonal is transcending the personal. Personal is it's a at the heart of the psychology is that it's spiritually based. So whereas clinical addresses your spirituality as a part of you, we're basically saying that's at the center of your being is your spirituality. Mm-hmm. Okay, so therefore it's not a part of you; it is the center of you, and therefore let's bring it back to that. Bring it back to the center. And so that's transpersonal psychology is that, and it deals with all the modalities, all the healing energies, all this healing therapies, art therapy, aromatherapy, anything you come up, it's validated under transpersonal psychology. So that's what I love about it. And the school is basically one of the only schools, there's maybe three in the country that focus on this type of modality as being the a postgraduate. We are going to do some certificate courses, but as a postgraduate, master's and doctorate, that it's going to focus on this as a modality. It will introduce the clinical methods as a education piece, but at the same time, transpersonal psychology, while you're learning it, you're transforming at the same time, so you're actually experiencing how the transformation works, so therefore you're going to be way more effective when you're counseling other people because you went through it.
You went through it. I love that. I love that. That makes sense. That makes a lot of sense. So is it the Institute here in Atlanta? How would people
it's
contact
in Atlanta.
You if they wanted to? Okay.
Yes.
Why don't you give your information so people can
I'll
contact you, your email, your website, just so that folks know how to get to you. We'll talk more about it, but I just want to make sure we get that out and that it's on the recording too.
Okay. So the websites. The websites is mindaspower.org. That's the school's website. And it has a curriculum posted up now. The Reflective Waters is reflectivewaters.org, and there's contact information there, but I will also give out my contact information. My phone number is 404-447-0086. On Reflective Waters site, you will see a flyer regarding our healing circles that we do every week. So you will see the information posted there. And finally, my email is reflectivewaters9@gmail.com.
Great, thank you so much. And so your the healing groups that you do, the healing circles are. I know you said you have circles for women, and then you have circles for people who are in recovery. Is this the second group? Is that co-ed, men and women?
Actually, I don't have the groups that I do for. Once in recovery is through an agency. The agency has brought me on as an independent contractor. The ones that I actually do in the office are, one is for women. It's a general healing session for women. We we go over therapeutic meditation. We go over spiritual cocooning. We delve into the tools. I have, in therapeutic meditation, there's the three R's. There's the reflection, the resolution and the reconnection. So we do it step by step. I walk you through the process. Each week you have each other week you have an assignment. We come back. We talk about utilizing the tools and what you came up with, and then introduce a new tool for the next assignment. So that, and it's really good. I mean, we get into some deep conversations and we bond and we have a great time.
I'm sure. I'm sure. That sounds wonderful. And so I probably met some of the people at your birthday celebration. I mean, I didn't know who, you know, in your groups or not, but some really very interesting, powerful women. So I look forward to stopping in and being a part of that. And since you're nearby, which is such a treat, I'm just so happy that you're close by.
Me too.
Hold on. Yeah, we've got someone holding on the line. I would just like to welcome them to the discussion. Okay, they got nervous and hung up. That happens sometimes. I don't know why.
Okay.
We don't bite, and I think I recognize the number, too. But sometimes people call and they want to listen, but they don't necessarily want to speak. So I hope that they call back in and still listen, because we're going to wrap up soon. But your stuff is so very interesting, and like I said, just very soothing. I feel, like, so relaxed, even though it's 98 degrees in here, although it seems to be getting a little cooler. Maybe the air conditioning guy has worked his magic already. It seems a little cooler than when I started the show. So if anyone wants to call in, please, 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 if you're listening on the computer, you can call in to 646-915-9853 and press the number 1 so that we can see you in the host queue. And, yeah, we always encourage our guests. I run into people in the street and say, oh, I love your show. I listen all the time. And I never see their numbers light up, which means they're listening incognito or they're on the, you know, computer incognito. And we're excited about that because we have a lot of people who listen to the show after the fact. The time is not always good for everybody. So, you know, we post the show afterwards, and we actually have more hits after the actual airing and recording of the show. So either way it works, we get the information out. So you'll be hearing your show, people will be listening to your show, Dr. Fire, for some time to come, and you can refer them. I'll make sure you have the links. You can post a link on your Facebook for people who missed the show. Okay?
Sure, sure will. Yes.
Yeah, so yes. Tell us a little bit more. Brian, did you have any other questions for Dr. Fire?
I'm just sitting here, my ears wide open because every word she says is pretty much profound to me, and I'm just linking into her spirit and her frequency, and I'm taking off. I'm absorbing everything.
Good.
What I'm hearing.
Well, I have to introduce you all. That would be great. And Brian is a deep thinker, or else he wouldn't be here co-hosting the show with me.
Right.
So I think you're gonna
again. You're too kind.
Meeting him. Well, no, I'm honest. I'm honest. I tell people my heart is about truth,
come my way. The platitudes, I'm not really a.
It's all good. You're so welcome. And Dr. Fire, take us out. Tell us some words of wisdom. You have so much. I could do a 2 or 3 hour show with you, but tell us some other words of wisdom, secrets, whatever that you've discovered that you'd like to share with our audience, because I know they're going to be calling you to come and participate with your work.
Well, I will say that what I am discovering more and more about myself is my beingness. And something that really started sparking, and it sparked from a conversation we had about what is the kingdom of God. And when we looked at there was a scripture that said, if someone says, lo here, lo there, do not go, because the kingdom of God is within you. And we looked at the word kingdom. The word kingdom means a domain where something is dominant. And therefore, if you think about your thoughts being a kingdom, or a domain, what is dominant in your thoughts? So if lust is a thought that's dominant in your thinking, then you're in the kingdom of lust. And then the kingdom of God, the word God in Hebrew means being, existence, I am. So the kingdom of God to me is being in the beingness. Your consciousness is not you're not your thoughts. And being able to separate yourself to a greater space that your thoughts are your are a tool for you to use to obtain things in this life, but they're not who you are. So that has been my journey lately, is to really get to the point where I am experiencing my beingness, and the beingness is not defined because, you know, we invest in so much identities. We invest in identities of nationality, identities of skill set, identities of who we marry, our children, and we actually invest in those identities, and all those are not who we are. They're
right.
You know what I'm saying? They are experiences that we're having, and we forget that we are even greater than all of that. So that has been my journey lately, is just to really connect and accept me for my beingness and being okay with everything that is me.
I love that. That is so it's so simple, and yet so many people don't. For a long time when I was growing up, I hated the sound of my voice. And if I hadn't gotten over that, I would have never taken the risk of having a radio show. Because my voice is what it is. It's part of me. It's part of my beingness. I can't change it. I can't sound like somebody else. I can't sound like I grew up in the Midwest when I grew up in New York. I remember having a friend make fun of me in college, you know, and she might have had too much wine or something, but she's like, listen to how you sound. And I'm like, what are you talking about? And, you know, and then she kind of made fun of the New York accent. And I kind of carried that for a while. I was like, oh, and then I was like, you know, let it go. That is ridiculous. You know, so every part of our beingness is who we are, and we just have to embrace it and love ourselves. Did you see Daughters of the Dust?
Yes, I did. It's been a while, but I loved it, yes.
Well, do you remember when the grandmother is standing in the woods and she was like, you know, everybody was around her in the woods, and she's saying, love yourself. These hands, love your hands. You know, she's like,
I do remember
this head, love this head. You know, like every part of her being, she was embracing, and she was telling her generations of her family, love yourself. Love yourselves. That's where everything, that's where life starts. Love yourself, every part of your being. And so I wow, thank you for sharing that.
Yes, and I've been through that. It's so funny because I do customer service on the phone, and sometimes we would have to listen to our calls. It's so funny that you would say that, because I listened to a call one time, and I'm like, oh, my gosh, I sound so New York. I sound like Brooklyn. And I was upset with it because it sounded like, it sounded like something Michael Myers on Saturday Night Live would do. I was a character, and I'm like, I was upset that it sounded so.
You sounded like that New York comedy, whatever,
and he does like,
you know.
Like butter. And you know,
like butter, right? How else do you
sound
say
like
butter?
That.
That's how you say it. That's how you say it. And then if you're from New York, that's how you say New York, you know? So, I have so gotten over that. I said, this is how I sound. And one of my favorite radio talk show hosts, Karen Hunter, from New Jersey, and she sounds just like me. I love her. She's you know, she's a sister from New Jersey, and she's so smart. She's a college professor. She covers so many different issues on the – what is it, the Urban View on Sirius XM Radio. So, you know, when you hear yourself, that's why role modeling is so important. When you hear other people who sound like you, look like you, whatever, it helps to put the wind under our wings. It helps us to fly. It helps us to say, you know, you're not so bad. You might sound like a New Yorker, but you've got some stuff with you.
Right.
Dr. Faya, you have some stuff with you. So it's such an honor and privilege to have you here on the show with us. And
absolutely.
And thank you. And you know what? And it's so funny because then, you know, there's always like that grass is always greener, because then you turn around and you have people that they would love to sound like a New Yorker. They want, when they come to New York, they want to sound like us, you know.
They would too. Yeah, I know. I know. It's like, right, right. The grass is always greener on the other side. So it's all good. It's all good. It absolutely is all good. And with that, I think we're going to conclude. We will definitely have to have you on again. Dr.
Oh, I
Faya,
love it.
And
I would love
if
it.
You know of other people that could benefit from, that our audience could benefit from hearing and spending an evening with, or, you know, an hour and 15 minutes or so of the evening, please let me know. We're always looking for good people. I met somebody at your party, in fact, that I told him, because we always have a lot of women guests, and I'm trying to make sure we have more of a balance, as you suggest. So
yes,
one of your good friends.
I know who you're talking about is Dr. Jerome.
I spoke with Dr. Jerome. I told him I would love to have, because it's nice, like Brian was asking about the male perspective. So it would be nice to have him as a follow-up. We'll get him on in just a couple of weeks. I know we have someone lined
Sounds
up
perfect.
Next week who does laughter yoga, a good friend of mine. So
is that
we're,
Victoria?
We're excited.
No, that's not Victoria.
Brigitte.
Okay.
No, Brigitte
okay.
lives in
Love
Florida.
Love laughter
good
yoga.
Good friend of mine. Me too. And so next week we will be laughing. Whoever hears this show, please tune in. One of the healthiest things you can do is laugh, and children do it a gazillion times a day, and as we get older, it's like if we laugh once or twice in the day, you know, that's all we get.
Yeah.
So we have to make ourselves laugh and enjoy life and lighten up. So, yeah, well, great. Thank you so much, Dr. Faya.
You're so welcome.
We will be talking with you
Thank
soon.
You very much.
Give
wow.
your number
Thank
again
you.
For people. Give your number one more time before we go out. Okay.
404-447-0086. Website again is reflectiveorders.org or mindaspower.org.
All right.
Com.
Well,
actually,
again.
We have. Wait,
and
wait,
gonna...
hold on. Mindaspower.com.
Okay.
Sorry about that. Yeah. Mindaspower.com.
Mindaspower.com. Oh, okay. I think earlier it said org. I wrote org.
Oh, wait. No, you're right. It's .org. Oh, my gosh. I got to do better than that.
That's okay.
It's
that's
.org.
Okay. No.
Okay.
You have a lot to remember all the time. So org versus com is not that important, but we need to just make sure they can reach
it. .org.
So that's good. All right. Have a wonderful evening, my dear, and
okay.
We will be speaking with you soon. Okay?
Looking forward
take
to
care.
It. All right. Take
all
care.
All right. Bye. Take care. Bye-bye.
Might seem crazy.